The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. July 31st, 1901. Who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, verse 13-14. My brethren, who are waiting for the appearing of our Lord, let us prayerfully consider our position. The age in which we live is one which calls for reformatory action. Intemperance is strong in its evil power. Continued and protracted effort is needed in the conflict with perverted appetite and the unholy habits which defile the soul temple. Because of the wrong example set by those who are older, the depravity existing among youth and children is rapidly increasing, not only in large cities, but also in towns and villages. Fraud, forgery, and bribery are common. Licentiousness is steadily increasing. There is earnest work to be done, not only by those who open the Scriptures to the people, but by every soul who claims to be a child of God. There is work awaiting everyone who will enter the Master's service. Jesus, the Majesty of Heaven, took upon Himself, of His own free will, the burden of working out the great plan of salvation. He made an atonement for our sins. Being one with the Father, the Son of the infinite God was above all law. Of the holy, created angels it could not be said, as it was said of Christ, upon which never came yoke. Numbers 19, verse 2. Angels bear the yoke of duty and obedience, and are God's delegated messengers. They could not make a sacrifice adequate for the redemption of man. Christ was equal with the Father. He alone was of sufficient value to undertake the suretyship of the fallen race. He was made sin for us. Upon Him was laid the iniquity of us all. In the typical services of the tabernacle, the gospel was set forth before the children of Israel. By the sacrifices, they were shown that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. This was the great truth ever kept before them. At the time when the Lord was visiting Egypt in judgment, when Pharaoh was to look upon the dead form of his firstborn, the children of Israel were commanded to sprinkle the blood of the slain lamb upon the lintel of their doors, that the death angel might not enter their dwellings. The Lord declared, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Exodus 12, verse 13. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, but in the work of vindicating the downtrodden law, the blood of Christ has, to a large extent, been lost sight of. Today, the testimony that should be heard in every discourse is, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." 1 John 1, verse 7. The precious Savior is to be lifted up. The virtue of the blood of the crucified and risen Savior is the sinner's only hope, for it is only through the merits of the Redeemer that the sinner gains salvation. Christ has tasted death for all, that through faith in His name, every man may taste and see that the Lord is good. Christ has risen from the dead and stands constantly at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He has entered into the most holy place, and with a heart full of unutterable love, He invites the defiled and polluted sinner to come to Him. Christ is ever pleading for those He has redeemed with His blood. He will save to the uttermost all who in faith come to Him. His infinite sacrifice loses none of its force or efficacy by the lapse of time. To every sincere seeker He says, "Fear not, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore." Revelation 1, verse 17-18. It is not sufficient for any soul to have a nominal faith, to merely admit that Christ is the Redeemer of the world. Is He your personal Redeemer? Have you a personal interest in Him? Is your soul hungering and thirsting for salvation? Do you long for a better knowledge of Jesus Christ? Is your soul earnestly and sincerely crying, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Psalm 51, verse 7, 10-12. In the gatherings of the people of God for worship, there has been a mingling of the sacred and the common. Our people certainly make a high profession, but they have lost sight of their leader. If they realized that he was by their side or just before them, if they were pressing on to keep in his company, light, cheap talk, jesting, joking, and trifling would not, could not exist. It becomes all who profess to believe sacred truth to walk circumspectly as wise men, else Satan will wreck their bark upon unseen rocks. If God's people could see, as I have seen, the dangers and perils they are in, they would be constantly praying, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Matthew 6, verse 13. But while Satan is preparing his snare for their souls, they are full of mirth and glee. They are not imbued with the Spirit of God. Sacred and eternal interests have but little weight in their minds. The oracles of God declare, "The man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation." Numbers 19, verse 20. This statement should be carefully considered. Every true Christian will obtain a knowledge of himself. It is very important that he know his own weakness. There is a work to be done in every church among us, a work of revival, of reformation. Every minister in our ranks and every layman needs to reach a higher standard of righteousness. "Come now, and let us reason together," saith the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 1, verse 18. What promises are these?